This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, www.imemc.org, for May the 19th through May the 25th, 2007. Non-violent resistance against the wall and settlements continues to grow in Palestine, while the Israeli army stages deadly airstrikes against the Palestinians who continue to call for international observers and protection. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent actions against the wall and settlements in Bethlehem and Ramallah. At least 200 Palestinians, accompanied by a number of Israeli and international peace activists, marched to the confiscated land in Ertas village south of Bethlehem on Friday after the noon prayer. A number of other international and Palestinian activists joined after they played a soccer game at the path of the wall in Wadi Nis. The villagers demanded the Israeli army stop bulldozing their land and uprooting their trees. Troops prevented the villagers from entering onto their land and pushed them away. Several attempts by the villagers and their supporters to break through the army line failed as more reinforcements arrived in the area. Troops took prisoner one of the international protesters and refused to release him, despite a proposal by the protesters to end the demonstration if the activist was released. Samed Jaber, a Palestinian activist of the Stop the Bleeding of Bethlehem campaign, said there will be many more non-violent actions in several villages in Bethlehem, and today's action will not be the last. Last Saturday, Israeli bulldozers began bulldozing land and uprooting trees in order to prepare for building a sewage system for the benefit of the adjacent Israeli settlement of Efrat, which according to the villagers will badly affect their agriculture. The settlement is built on land confiscated from Ertas, Al-Hada and the nearby villages. This settlement is part of the Gush Etzion settlement block, which Israel is planning to keep control of, although it is entirely built on occupied land in the West Bank. The villagers, along with international supporters, camped at the land for a few days before the army stormed their camp and removed the tents on Sunday morning, and took prisoner several Israeli peace activists. In the afternoon, a press conference was held, during which Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, Minister of Information, stressed the importance of the non-violent resistance against the wall and settlements. Following the press conference, the local and foreign media left the site, after which Israeli troops charged the villagers and assaulted them after they had replanted the trees uprooted in the morning. In addition to several others, Dr. Barghouti was also pushed and beaten by the soldiers.
They beat us with their clubs, and they were absolutely vicious and savagery. They did not care about women, they did not care about children, they did not care about me, they didn't care about anybody. We were beaten, we were pushed, and then they throw at us gas bombs and sound bombs that are very dangerous. And they forced everybody to leave. And they abused the fact that there was no media and no TV. There was absolutely no aggression or any act of violence from the Palestinians. All we did is to sit down in the field that these people own with the owners of the field, in front of their trees that were uprooted, just to protest the uprooting of the trees and to stay in their land, our land, people's land.
On Monday afternoon, the Israeli security guards fired on a number of journalists who were covering a non-violent protest by the villagers. The security guards opened fire at Niall Shayuki, a Reuters reporter and cameraman, and IMEMC's Kassan Banura. Troops arrived to the site and took prisoner three of the villagers' residents. The three were bailed out 4 days later, pending a court hearing. They were accused of throwing rocks at the bulldozers, a charge that they vehemently deny. Adham, one of the three arrestees, told IMEMC that they were beaten badly by the Israeli soldiers in the Gush Etzion settlement. In their weekly anti-wall non-violent protest, the villagers of Belin, west of Ramallah, joined by a number of international and Israeli peace activists, marched against the construction of the wall on their land. Protesters carried signs condemning Israel's construction of the wall, stating that it is illegal according to international law and the International Court of Justice. The demonstration arrived at barbed wire installed by the army to prevent the activity. At this point, using a megaphone, troops called on the demonstrators not to come any closer to the barbed wire, after which tear gas sound bombs and rubber-coated steel bullets were fired at the protesters. The gas bombs caused fire in the adjacent fields, which are planted with olive trees. Six, including a journalist, were injured. The journalist was shot in the head with a rubber-coated metal bullet. Several were treated for gas inhalation. Troops also assaulted journalists and attempted to take their cameras. Mohammed Al-Khateb, coordinator of the Popular Committee, and an Israeli journalist identified as David were taken prisoner by the army. Israeli army attacks on the Gaza Strip have steadily increased over the past week, claiming the lives of 38 Palestinians, including seven children and other bystanders. Israel claims that its attacks that have so far devastated several Hamas-affiliated executive force outposts in Gaza are a response to the homemade shells the Palestinian resistance factions have fired on nearby Israeli towns. Palestine's permanent observer at the United Nations, Riyad Mansour, called on Thursday for installing international observers in the Gaza Strip, voicing stark rejection of Israeli airstrikes in Gaza under the pretext of preventing homemade shell fire. "Once observers are installed, we can verify who breaches a ceasefire," said Mansour, in reference to Israeli claims that Palestinian groups have continued to fire rockets despite last November's ceasefire. In the meantime, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas of Fatah expressed dissatisfaction over the rocket fire against Israel, calling it absurd. His remarks came in a news conference with the EU's foreign policy chief, Javier Zalana, in Gaza. Zalana expressed solidarity with Gaza in the shadow of Israeli attacks, yet he gave no official reaction for such attacks. Abbas met earlier with representatives of the various resistance groups and discussed a possible restoration of the November truce with Israel. The group stated that they would only agree to such a situation if the truce was extended to the West Bank. Israel yesterday responded by arresting 33 Hamas leaders, including the education minister Nasser Eldin al-Shaer, in the West Bank. The Palestinian Authority called upon the international community to impose sanctions on Israel for these asserted violations of international law, asking, "What does Israel aim to achieve by targeting Hamas operatives in both Gaza and the West Bank?" Sergio Yanni, an Israeli opposition activist and political analyst, answered IMEMC.
"The current attacks are part of an attempt to overthrow physically the Palestinian elected government, to put Dahlan as the next government of the Palestinian entity. The idea is that Dahlan will accept, and actually he will accept, the Israeli plan of separation, the American plans for the Middle East, as the future. It is not at all about moderates or radicals."
Fatah spokesman Abdul Hakim Awad denied for his part any assistance by the United States to President Abbas.
"When the United States claims it is backing the Presidential Guard, it is not actually providing anything, but rather causing a great harm to the Fatah movement and President Mahmoud Abbas."
In the meantime, the PA proposed this week a mutual ceasefire with Israel to stop the ongoing Israeli attacks on Gaza and halt Palestinian homemade rockets. In response, Israel decided on Monday to step up targeted killings against Hamas activists in Gaza, suggesting that no Hamas leader, including Khalid Mashal or Prime Minister Haniyeh, was immune from the possibility of attack. Palestinian Information Minister and spokesperson for the National Unity Government, Mustafa Barghouti, stated that Israel's military escalation and rejection of the ceasefire offer demonstrated that Israel is not interested in a just solution to the current situation. King Abdullah of Jordan, who earlier in the week hosted the World Economic Forum, warned against the Israeli military escalation on the ground, saying that these actions undermine peace efforts. Washington called on all parties for restraint, stating that Israel had the right to defend itself. Meanwhile, the Hamas movement slammed the participation of Arab states in the forum, arguing that this represented normalization with the Jewish state. Israel has recently rejected an Arab peace proposal, citing, amongst other issues, the right to return as a point of contention. Israel rejected the Palestinians' right to return, stipulated in the original Arab Peace Initiative, first drafted in 2002 and renewed during March 2007's Arab League summit meeting. Mohammed Baraka, an Arab member of the Israeli parliament, stated that this and Israel's escalation of military activity in the Gaza Strip demonstrated that it is not interested in any just peace. The International Quartet for Promoting Peace in the Middle East, comprised of the United Nations, the United States, the European Union and Russia, is still demanding that the Hamas-Fatah coalition government recognises Israel, renounces violence and accepts previously signed agreements before it wins recognition. Since last March, the quartet has been imposing a crippling economic siege on the Palestinian Authority, while Israel has been withholding a total of $850 million US dollars of PA-owned tax revenue. During the week, the Israeli army conducted at least 45 military invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During these invasions, the Israeli forces kidnapped 57 Palestinian civilians, among them lawmakers. Thus, the number of Palestinians kidnapped by the Israeli army in the West Bank since the beginning of this year has mounted to 1,221. IMEMC's Kassan Banura has more.
At dawn on Thursday, Israeli soldiers invaded several Palestinian cities and towns. They kidnapped at least 30 mayors, legislators and other Hamas officials and supporters. In the occupied West Bank city of Nablus, troops broke into the house of Palestinian Education Minister Nasreddin al-Sha'er. searched his house and took him to unknown destination. Huda, the wife of al-Sha'r, describes the abduction.
A large contingent of the army has broken into our residential building. Two soldiers stormed the rooms and confiscated all the computers from the home. Then they informed us that they have an order to abduct him. Dr. Nasser has always excluded the possibility of his abduction. Just 1 year ago, when they arrested him, they found no charges against him.
Additionally, this week, Israeli forces stormed 5 television and radio stations in Nablus and Qalqilia and confiscated their equipment. Israeli troops also stormed the offices of a number of charities and offices of members of the Palestinian Legislative Council. During the attack on local TVs and radios, Israeli soldiers forced some of those media outlets to go off air. A massive Israeli force composed of police units and special forces packed with bulldozers and helicopters stormed the unrecognized Arab Bedouin village of Attar, located in the Negev region, and demolished 3 houses on Tuesday. The Black Panther resistance group, linked to the Fatah movement, announced on Monday morning that they attacked Israeli military vehicles in the West Bank city of Jenin with 2 homemade shells. The army reported damage, but no casualties. For IMEMC.org, this is Ghassan Bannoura.
During the week, the Israeli army killed 32 Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. This number includes 17 civilians, 7 of whom were children. The figure also includes 7 members of one family. IMEMC's Rami Al-Mughari has more.
On Wednesday afternoon, the Israeli army initiated a wide-scale offensive on the northern part of the Gaza Strip, seizing a number of houses for military purposes. The army expanded the offensive to include aerial attacks that targeted civilian facilities, sites of resistance groups, and civilian vehicles believed to be transporting members of the Palestinian resistance. Soon after, the Israeli government announced that it would carry out a series of extrajudicial operations that would target leaders of Hamas and the Islamic Jihad. Some hours after taking this decision, the Israeli Air Force bombarded a meeting hall belonging to the Al-Hayya family, located near the house of Dr. Khalil Al-Hayya, Hamas member of the Palestinian Legislative Council, in the Al-Shaja'iyya neighborhood in Gaza City. 10 Palestinians were killed in the attack, and many more injured. During the week, the Israeli army launched 46 missiles at several targets in the Gaza Strip. In addition to the deaths and casualties incurred by these attacks, 10 civilian facilities, a house, and a number of parliamentary sites, mostly belonging to Hamas and the executive force of the Palestinian Ministry of Interior, were destroyed. The Israeli army stated that its attacks on the Gaza Strip aimed to force the Palestinian resistance to stop the firing of homemade rockets into nearby Israeli towns in a bid to stop the escalation. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas met with all Palestinian resistance groups on Thursday to reach a ceasefire agreement between themselves and Israel. All factions insisted that an end to the homemade rocket attacks would require Israel to cease military operations in both the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Yahya Musa, Vice President of the Hamas Parliamentary Bloc, said that unless Israel stops its attacks, Hamas and other factions would continue to resist.
We consider what is going on the ground as part of the continued aggression. As for the resistance rockets, this belief pushes us to the assumption that the political leadership of the national movements should further commit not to give the occupation's government any kind of truce, unless Israel halts all forms of aggression against our people.
The Israeli army demonstrated a flagrant disregard for the lives of the Palestinian civilian population and attacked a densely populated civilian area while pursuing members of the Palestinian resistance. Since the beginning of this latest offensive against the Gaza Strip, the army has killed 38 Palestinians and wounded at least 120 others. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari from Gaza.
President Abbas and his Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh agreed on Wednesday to a joint force to reinforce the Hamas-Fatah ceasefire, while 2 died this week due to infighting. IMEMC's John Smith has more.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas of Fatah and his Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas agreed on Wednesday to a joint force to strengthen the Hamas-Fatah ceasefire, said Abbas's spokesman Nabil Abu Rudena. Abu Rudena added that during a meeting in Gaza on Wednesday, both leaders discussed possible ways to consolidate the recent ceasefire between the two parties following a spate of bloody confrontations that have been rocking the Gaza Strip since mid-May. The Joint Security Force, made up of forces loyal to both Fatah and Hamas, will be entitled to implement a pending security plan outlined earlier by the resigned minister, Hani al-Qawasmi, who quit because of a lack of cooperation between the rival factions, said well-informed sources. On Monday, Palestinian sources in the Gaza Strip reported that two Palestinians had died from wounds sustained during earlier internal clashes between Fatah and Hamas gunmen. Resident Sami Abid Rabu died on Sunday of wounds sustained during armed clashes between Fatah and Hamas gunmen near the ministry's compound. Munir Tanira died of wounds sustained in similar circumstances. Tanira, a member of the Hamas-formed executive force, was shot by Fatah gunmen in Khan Yunis in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. A senior leader of the Al-Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, was announced dead on Tuesday after succumbing to wounds sustained during last week's Hamas-Fatah infighting. Mohammed Abu-Khair was injured when Fatah-allied security forces opened fire at a funeral in Gaza City. He was admitted to Gaza Hospital with critical wounds but later died. Since the beginning of 2007, 150 Palestinians have been killed throughout the Gaza Strip due to Hamas-Fatah infighting, 52 of whom have been killed during the recent one-week-old wave of clashes. For IMEMC.org, this is John Smith.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This is Eliza Sprout.